this plan as the bride prepares to come forward, we start the sealing ceremony.
United is standing under that special name.
Welcome to each and everyone this afternoon as we gather here today to join in with this celebration with our brother Mover and Sister Rhea in your marriage union this afternoon. Amen. Let us sing the song, singing I love you, Lord, singing I love you, Lord. Give back worship unto our Lord Jesus. He who made all possible this evening. Amen.
Pastor to the pulpit, let's just keep on singing it. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Amen. As we enter into this atmosphere of love this afternoon.
Shut out everything at this time and just let His Holy Spirit just come down close to us and lift us up where we can be so aware of His great divine presence that is here, knowing He's the one we look unto this evening. He who was at that wedding in Cana in Galilee, He who was back in the Garden of Eden when they joined the first man and woman back together. That's the one we're looking at this evening. He's still the same God. Still comes among His people. Still unite hearts together. That He might show forth a true witness, a true expression of true love. Even in this dark age that we live in, so many broken homes, until the marriage institution is so degraded, so much marriage and divorce that the courts are filled with. So many unwanted children. But he's still God who keeps his word. If we look to him and trust him, blessed be his wonderful name. Almighty God, how we thank you this evening, Father, considering that this is a blessed opportunity given unto us, that we can come, dear God, and assemble ourselves together, knowing we come here for a divine purpose this evening, that is to meet with you. Lord God, knowing you promised where two or three is gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And especially on this blessed occasion, Lord God, where our brother and our sister has come to make their vows to each other in this little ceremony this evening. And looking unto you, Father, who have called them out of darkness to walk in this light, who have brought this great revelation of truth to their hearts that have changed their lives, who have brought them to cross paths with each other, who have put that love in their heart for each other, you who have joined them together, dear God. Lord, they look to you this evening, and we come here as witnesses, gathered in your presence. This will be a special occasion. Such a special blessing would fill their hearts, and not only their hearts, but each and every one that is gathered here this evening, Father, under this roof. May your great Holy Spirit just move on the scene. Just take everything under your divine control. Oh God, manifest thy presence in such a way that the reality of you being here, Lord, would be so real to each and every one that is gathered here today, that Father, our lives will be touched. We'll be affected, Lord. Lord, by your word, by your truth, even to witness something that proceeded forth from you. Something that is holy and undefiled. Something that is the fulfilling of your word. Something that you desire to express in the lives of your children, whom you have redeemed and washed in your blood. Something, oh God, that you want to show forth, even in this dark generation that we live in, Lord. This dark world, you can still show forth the purity of a true godly relationship between two people in Christ Jesus. Oh my God, may you just have your way this evening. Bless all the relatives, bless all the friends, bless all the saints, all them that are gathered here this evening, Father. May you hasten the footsteps of them that are on the way. And may, as we would be gathered here in your presence to witness this ceremony, may your Holy Spirit minister to each and every one of us individually and collectively. And Father, at the end of this service, may, dear God, you mean more to us, each and every one of us, Father. We ask a special blessing, and that you would grant the desires of their heart, Lord, brother Mervyn and sister Rhea this evening, that this special day in their lives, this special occasion, Lord, would just be to the fulfilling of their heart's desire, that they can see you, the God whom they have separated from this world to serve, and expecting this evening that you would just bless them in a special way and bless all that they love and have invited to be here to share this moment with them, that it would just be according to their heart's desire. Oh, gracious God, may you grant that, Father. We sincerely ask that, believing this evening, looking unto you, the author and finisher of our faith, for we ask this in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. Amen. Amen. God, which you bless you, certainly welcome each and every one that is gathered in his divine presence. We believe that we are gathered here in the presence of the living God. We believe that this is a very special moment, special occasion. And we desire that God would just give us the fullness of it this evening by God's grace. Amen. Amen. So some might be a little late, but nevertheless, they're going to just come right in time, and we just trust that all that is here would be greatly blessed. I would like to read a portion of the word from the book of Acts, chapter 18. There's a couple of verses there, and you'll have your seats. Acts 18, verse 1 to 11. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed him themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Titus Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God to them. Just a few more verses lower down in the chapter. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he was come, helped them much who had believed to grace, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Certainly want to greet everyone again that is gathered here, and we will not be lengthy because time is of great importance this evening. Our brother and our sister would be leaving the island tonight, and they need to be in the airport by 7, so all the different things that would take part of the evening that have been scheduled would have its place, and we desire that it will be prompt and to be able to get through on time, because after this we would have all the wedding pictures to take out and different things, and then the ceremony, and then they need to change and then get to the airport, and from there go over to the honeymoon, and may God make every bit of it interesting, exciting, wonderful, enjoyable for them this evening. Amen. But while we are gathered here, just to speak shortly from the word of God, and just to create a little atmosphere that we could capture the feeling of marriage and the marriage relationship in our hearts, that we might be able to come to and approach the ceremony with the sacredness, with the feeling that when we would ask God's blessing upon their union, we can feel the unction in our hearts to really pray for them the things that we would desire God to do for them with real Christian faith. Amen? So we really love Brother Mervyn and Sister Rhea. They are very special to us in the local church here, and to those who know them and has been acquainted with them, truly they would admit by confession that they are true Christians indeed by the grace of God. And you know, sometimes people in their own weddings, they get a little tense and they get a little nervous. Sometimes they feel that they can behave in a more relaxed way with their spouse, you know, in private, and you know, maybe with some people. But when it comes to public, they're not just too familiar yet with behaving with the bride in public. And as such, I would not like them to be tense on this special day for them. Amen? You know, I always think there's too much of planning that goes into a wedding, and the time passes by so quickly that sometimes when you go through it all nervous and rushed, you sort of miss the real sacredness of the moment. And that is what we would try to capture, that those few moments where you can just feel the Holy Spirit comes in and would give His approval. We could say nice words, we could give nice compliments, but when God would just come in by His presence, that Holy Spirit that they are acquainted with, that God that they pray to, that God that they separate from the world to serve, I don't believe that anyone of here was instrumental in making the match. I believe that they believe that God put it in their hearts, you know, that they are for each other. And when they would feel that one comes behind on the wedding day, that would mean something special to them. In the moments when the wedding guests are not around, and they could look back in the times of trial and testing, they could remember that special moment that unseen guest, that special one in their lives who started this thing proceeded forth from the Lord, He Himself was there to give His blessing to them. And I would like to speak on another Aquila and Priscilla. And I, you know, knowing the two individuals and knowing that we are Christians, and every moment that we have to spend in the presence of the Lord Jesus and to take a step by faith for Him, it means something to us. It's like a building block in our lives. And that is why, especially something like marriage, one of the most important steps a man or woman can take, it's so serious in the Bible, is a vow till death do us part. And to think that in an age of so many broken homes, so many delinquent children in the streets, so many broken marriages, you know, the pressures of the age, the challenge of this hour, for people to really, you know, serve God and stay together and be true to each other, it seems such a difficult thing in these trying times. But I'm trusting by the grace of God this evening that this step, as we reflect on it, and the text I read, it may not even seem as though it is appropriate for a wedding, but I trust that when we go through it, you would see how appropriate it is, because it speaks of one of the most beautiful relationships in the entire Bible. More is spoken of these two people together as a couple in a relationship in the service of the Lord than maybe Joseph and Mary, than maybe Aquila and Ahasuerus and Esther, maybe Adam and Eve, maybe Abraham and Sarah, maybe Isaac and Rebecca. More is spoken about these two people in the service for the Lord. And this seems, you know, appropriate because it's such a great need in this hour. Marriages that are taking place today is, every day you open the papers almost, you see pictures in the newspapers of beautiful brides and, you know, reflections of weddings and a lot of different people coming together and being married. But this evening, as we try to create a little atmosphere and set a tone here for this wedding ceremony, we want to focus our attention upon a young man and a young woman, a man whom the Bible so briefly, in just a few lines, it says, and a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And it gives the purpose, because Claudius commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. Very simple. But so much is in there, because the Bible is a book like that. It condenses its truths. If we don't read who Claudius was in history, if we don't realize why these people have to depart from Rome, we would not realize that they're having to leave that city, maybe in haste, maybe pick up their few belongings. They were being put into exile. They were being driven out of that city because they were a Jew. And it was a persecution coming in, and they were being banished. They had to leave their homes. They had to leave maybe the money that they were investing, you know, into the business there and whatever way of life they were now becoming establishing. They had to leave because there was a lot of persecution going on because of the gospel.
And if we could capture a little bit the background, the setting, then it helps us to see the character of the people. You see, you can't really appreciate the quality of spirit that these people exhibited and why the Holy Spirit recorded these people's lives in the manner that they recorded it, and why they stand out as an example of a Christian couple, and why their relationship excelled so many other great relationships, is because the service was rendered for the Lord in times of great persecution, in times of great testing. Sometimes to serve God outside of persecution is easy. But sometimes to have a true commitment, being persecuted, standing for the truth, uncompromising, making a total separation to hold a true profession of what you believe, it takes sincerity. It takes commitment. It takes a real revelation that you, what you believe, you are persuaded it is the truth. It's not a just a religion you walk into and you walk out of. It's something that you are in with all that you are and all that you have. It is the most important thing, more than life to you. And I was thinking, you know, it's such a great need because so many people have been married today, but few marriages comes out like Aquila and Priscilla. And because of couples like that, the church could have been what it was. And that's what I feel in my heart. The groaning of the church of the living God that is giving birth to marriages, giving birth to couples, giving birth to husbands and wives coming forth to establish the home. You know, the church is a place where many a time a man finds his wife. They're coming single. Sometimes they grow up right in the assembly. And as time unfolds and the will of God is revealed, a young man finds his wife. A young woman recognizes the will of God for her life, showing her who her husband is. And then they realize it was all in God's purpose. He who designed their lives, he who brought them to the gospel to give them a real Christian husband or a real Christian wife, a mate for life. The same God who went on the cross and died to make salvation available to them was also thinking of their social needs. But God is not just thinking of marriage in just a social atmosphere. Because here, in the life of this couple, now remember, there's many couples in the Bible. There's Ananias and Sapphira in the same early church. There's Aquila and Priscilla in the same early church. Sapphira stood behind her husband, and she lied when he lied. Priscilla stood beside of her husband, and she served God when he served God. So sometimes you look and you see and you realize that the things that is recorded were intended to give us a picture of the lives of these people. Because Aquila means an eagle. And Priscilla means old-fashioned simplicity. And trying to think of what would be suited and appropriate for a brother and his wife here. I was thinking that how we were sitting there and we were talking on the bachelor's night. And you know, he sits here in the front with all his friends, right next to him on his right hand. And she sits here with all her special friends who have been chosen, selected to be part of the entourage, the bride's entourage. So we are here gathered together with them. And since this is their moment, let us look a little bit to see some of the things that comes out of their life that would give us a little insight into God's working. And his friends were speaking of the influence he had been to them. The things he spoke to them in their association and work. In the house of God. How they appreciate him. And they would speak of the way he see things. The way he look at their life and see where they might be going wrong. And would encourage them and talk to them about different things. And, you know, that's one of the things about the eagle. It has a very keen sight. The vision of the eagle is what makes it different to the other birds. The eagle is the king of the birds. One thing about an eagle, too, it mates for life. The eagle is not like a rooster in the yard, you know, here. The eagle mates for life. Just like a dove. And God in the Bible likened himself to an eagle. And you know why they would speak about him and the way he was and the kind of person he was? Then when the time came for the bridegroom to speak in the bachelor's night, well, he began to speak to. And he was saying, well, I have a word for the young men. And he said, my word for the young men is to encourage them. And he began to speak to the young men who were single now that he was leaving the single bunch to join ranks with the married. And you know, he was telling them that the way he came and how he stood true to the word and how he tried to be sincere and obey the word just the way it was spoken. And then he began to speak about some of his courtship days. And that what struck me. He said, well, me and Sister Rhea, he says, you know, when we were courting, he said, we didn't spend all the time by the savannah. We didn't maybe go to all the nice restaurants to eat and take out all the nice places. He said, but while I was down home doing some mason and building up the place, Rhea was sitting on the end, like God passed us that way. He said, like God passed us that way in that she had to pass a block, pass some mortar, pass some different things. And inside that type of an atmosphere, working together, they were enjoying a certain relationship. Because together they were putting their hands and their shoulders together to help construct the home that were going to become the dwelling place. With the walls that is like a little sanctuary where they're going to raise a family for the glory of God. And to me, when they begin to speak, it's restaurants and parks and places just seem to fade away. Because this seems so much more real. Amen. Now, maybe many of us didn't go that way in our courtship. But, you see, that's why I think the script is appropriate. Because Aquila and Priscilla, they worked together. They were tent makers by occupation. She was a busy woman raising a home. Taking care of a home. Running the house. Yet finding time to be involved and give assistance to their husband in the business, making tents, and yet at the same time, they had as a special guest in the home, in our little scripture we read, Paul, when he left Athens and he came to Corinth, directed by the Holy Spirit, he crossed paths with this couple. And the Bible says he stayed with them. Not because they were Christians, because they were tent makers. Paul himself was a tent maker. So maybe, you know, a lot of people who was in exile, they end back up in the city. Everybody looking for a little lodging. Get the picture. Because it's an influx of people being banished from Rome. So they're trying to settle down somewhere where they can continue the business and start a new life. They don't know when they're going to go back to Rome, when the door is going to be open, that they may go back. Because there are political things that have happened, and they cannot go back at the present time. So they get a little apartment in Corinth, and Paul ends up in Corinth. And then he's looking for work. You have to make a little money to live. So his trail is making tents. So he meets this couple who make tents. Nice spirit. The Bible didn't say they were Christians yet. So he began to work together with them. Maybe they needed an extra hand. They had some orders to fill. He needed a lodging. So they said, well, we have a sleeping bag. We can roll it out. We have one room. The one room we stay in, we're willing to extend the living room to you. Well, Paul, he was looking for comfort. He could have a base and a bunk wherever God have him to. He's a rugged Christian. He's not looking for a nice hotel or something. His master was born in a stable. So he goes there and he begins to sleep there. But this man is packing the word. This man is full of the Holy Ghost. How long could this man sit in that kind of environment without telling them about Jesus Christ? He goes out into the synagogue and he begins to speak. And all the time they are seeing their tent maker like he excels in another field. And this is not an ordinary tent maker. Amen. They realize this man has a divine connection. They realize it is God in this man speaking. They realize this is not some vain philosopher. This is not some religious priest or something. This is a man who has met the pillar of fire. This is a man who has been in the presence of Almighty God. This man was a religious man one time, could have been a rabbi or something. But he forsake all those things. And here he's in a city as a tent maker. Sleeping in a living room on the floor somewhere. And they begin to realize there's something about this man. Why am I saying that? I'm trying to paint a little picture to capture the spirit of Aquila the eagle. Because I believe he's an eagle and she's just a plain old-fashioned simplicity. Any true daughter of God, any true soul who's been born by the Holy Spirit, you would just see old-fashioned simplicity. You wouldn't see all this modern-day business. No, 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 no. You would see something that people think is extinct, that people thought went out with the new craze, that people think is old-fashioned today. Think that is virtuous, think that is honest, think that is true, think that is godly. God have some of them to show this world that those things never became extinct. Those things still exist today. God still make decent women. God still make women who know how to dress. God still make women who know how to minister to their husbands in the home. God still make men in his image and likeness. God don't leave a man to get some fashion designer to fashion him in some image and likeness of some Hollywood star. God still makes man. The first man God made him. And when God made him in the image and likeness of God. Is that right? And that was the best pattern. If God is going to make another man, he's going to make him in the image of God again. Amen. So this eagle, this old-fashioned simplicity, the rain is falling. So we'll just try to utilize that in a convenient way here by the grace of God. And at the same time, keep in mind the program, amen? Now watch. What made this relationship so beautiful? You know, we speak in weddings many times, and we speak about the marriage covenant, and we speak about the different areas of it, and the different problems in marriage today, but what we're trying to focus on is a relationship, a true relationship, a beautiful relationship. Where there is no time in the scripture when Aquila and Priscilla is mentioned that they are separated. Every time they are mentioned in the Bible, they are mentioned together. They were involved together. They did everything together. And that is what made it such a wonderful thing. Because as we would read, and I would try to get one or two places I could read for you quickly, that they were respected by all the churches in that day, whether it was in Rome, whether it was in Corinth, whether it was in Ephesus, wherever it was, these people were at the forefront. They were not backbenchers. They were not just people who kind of darkened the church door, maybe on a Sunday, or show up for Christmas, or show up for a New Year's service, or show up at Easter time or something. No. They were a Christian every day. And that is what made it so outstanding. And I said to capture the beauty of this relationship is to see it in the light of the record of the service and testimony, and in the light of the circumstances that this service was really rendered in. And you're going to find that a wife was standing with her husband when their home could have been stoned down, when they had to flee banishment. She didn't say, see the same thing. Look at the life you have me living. We gotta live in a place here. We gotta get up and leave and go somewhere else. What kind of life you bring me into? She was never, no. They was together. Through it all, they learned to trust in Jesus and they learned to trust in God. They thank Him for the mountains and they thank Him for the valleys. If they never had a problem, how would they know that God could solve them? Amen. They live together, they work together, they suffered exile together, and they came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ together, and they serve God together. And that is what made their marriage complete. They had loved one another before, no doubt, before those Christians. Maybe they got an interest in one another. Maybe both of them, she have skill maybe to sew and do different things. He have skill to build tents and so on. And there might be certain things that attracted them to each other. Maybe he might look kind of rugged and give her the type of security that she needs. Maybe she look kind of dainty and need protection. And they might have seen many things that is responsible for bringing them together and cause them to enjoy a pleasant and wonderful association together. But that don't necessarily make a marriage complete. But when they came to know the Lord Jesus, and then both of them begin to work and serve Him together, that is what really made that marriage complete. And that's why there's an emptiness today in so many marriages. Though people have a good understanding, they do things together, they sort of kind of keep their agreement of contract together, and they kind of remind each other ever so often, remember, you're supposed to do that, and he said, remember, you're supposed to do this. He said, I only do that for you last week because you were sick in bed. No, you have to do it for yourself. And they say, well, we enjoy a good relationship. Well, businesses do the same thing. Unions do the same thing. But the thing is, what we're speaking of, the true oneness, that true oneness that God intended marriage to be, could only be found in Christ. And they were one in Christ, and His love made what was maybe a good marriage, He made it complete. He made a good marriage, even a better marriage, when God came into their lives. Because until by faith you receive the sacrifice which Christ has made for your sins, your marriage could never be complete. And that's why we are looking at the completeness, because God has brought them to the knowledge of salvation. God has put a joy in their heart. God has given them a desire to serve Him. And now the outlook that they have, the revelation that God gives them before they come to this altar to make their vows to each other, they have a revelation of the end time, of the age we're living in, of the need for real strong Christian families. Amen. To see the church of the living God fulfill its purpose. Today you see so many marriages come and their homes become shut. People get married and the doors become locked. You don't see them no more except in church. You see them once in a while. Nobody goes to the home anymore. Nothing happens. That's not a Christian marriage. What the church needs here is Aquila and a Priscilla in this hour. God, you see, God church is not weak when people get married. God church becomes stronger. Because He is continually giving something good to them. He sees a man, needs a wife, needs a companion, needs a help, And God knows that's going to encourage him at this stage of his life to become a stronger soldier. That in the area in his life where he's calling to be ministered to by a helpmeet in his home, and God gives him that as a bonus to salvation, that the man is encouraged to serve God with a greater determination, and God gives him a Christian wife who is going to be the right kind of help. Not a hindrance, not an obstacle, nothing to paralyze his service, but to give him added service, to bring added strength. In unity, there is strength. Amen. God teaming them up, yoking them together. It's so sad when you see the work of God going undone and falling apart because young men and young women filled with what Hollywood showed them is marriage, filled with what Hollywood showed them is a marriage life. That they get blinded from the truth and the purpose and the program of God. That they just come to church and go back home and their life becomes more dull and uninteresting after a while. Because the Bible warns us, it says, when a man marries a woman, he's going to think more about his wife than the things of God. When a woman gets married, she thinks more about her husband than the things of God. And when that neglect begins to come, the things of God go undone. Amen? And so that the work of God could have abounded, even Paul says, I wish that all men were like me. See? Because why? There is a focus that the work of God must progress, and especially in the end time. That's why when God unites people together, is that he can equip them, he makes the bond strong, that they can serve in a more complete, in a more efficient way. That there can be great progress in their lives, in their home, in the community, for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that makes the marriage beautiful. You have time to watch TV, and you have time to, you know, go along here with this, and you have time to play around, and you have time just to idle and laze around and put in all the energies in the temporal things. Some people, you know, when they think of their home become a little museum. Boy, you can't, they have this article here, you can hardly even walk, you can hardly even touch anything, and they don't even want to disturb, they rather may have visiting hours on certain days or something to come in the museum. But a Christian home is open where, look at that, they have a church in their home. They could discuss the word of God in their home. They found a soul that wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. They brought him in their home, sit him down, maybe give him a good meal, and then pour the word upon him. Amen. Because they realize that God gives them a place, not just to socialize, not to lock and hide themselves away from the public, but rather God gives them a place where they can operate and minister from. Where people can find help, where people can come and enjoy real Christian company, come into a real Christian atmosphere, come and receive edification. Amen. The Bible says there's a lawyer named Apollos, eloquent man, mighty, learning the scriptures. They look at him, they realize this young man here has some good potential. We need to take him home. Apollos said, Priscilla, what we have home there? She said, well, we just have some chicken for him. And he said, okay, good. You figure out maybe a chicken foot sauce or something, I'm going to invite him over. How fast can you do that? She said, half hour. Before you know it, got a policy down there. And while he sat there, the Bible said, point to him the things of Christ. That when the man left, he rose to such a place where he was spoken of in the same breath like Peter and Paul. Why? Because a couple whose life was so involved in God's service, whose relationship grew stronger as they were united and yoked together and under the influence of Jesus Christ, that God made them a force to be reckoned with. It's so marvelous. While there was in Corinth, the Bible says that Paul, you know, he had the church in the house of a man named Titus Justice. I'm getting ready to close. In the house of Titus Justice. And it makes you wonder why it wasn't Aquila and Priscilla home. Well, maybe it was kind of small. Because they had just come back from exile. They were under pressure. They were looking for an apartment. They had Paul staying with them. They hadn't much space. Their home might even be the very business where they're operating the business from. But we find that in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul speaking, verse 19 rather, and the churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Here he was now, right in the Corinthian church, greeting them and saying, Aquila and Priscilla send their greetings to you too, and with the church that is in their house. These people were, you know, they could have socialized. They could have been selfish. They could have tried to find things to justify. Well, after all, we're not married and we need to, you know, lock ourselves away. After all, you know, long we planned for this and... They were two thoroughbreds. They were two people filled with zeal for God. They were two people, you know, was filled with the love of God and rejoiced to see a soul come to the kingdom. The salvation that they experienced by coming to know Christ on the cross was so real in their lives that they wanted to see it affected the lives of others. And if they could have made themselves or the possessions available for God to use, they were willing to surrender everything to the feet of Jesus Christ. Their home always was open to people who wanted to learn about Christ. Was always open for Christians who wanted to grow in the Word. There's always the way to, because hospitality is something, is a Christian trait. Look at Abraham, look at Martha and Mary. Look at Rahab. Go down through the Bible and see hospitality is a real Christian trait. In the book of Romans, Paul writing the church in Rome, and here these very people, in verses 3 to 5, he said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but unto all the churches of the Gentiles. All the church. These people wasn't just with a small vision in their own little corner, in their own little local church. All the churches of the Gentiles, wherever they could have helped in the service of Jesus Christ, wherever the ministry could have reached some Christian, could have encouraged some person, wherever it might have been, they were willing to serve the Lord. Because when they came together and they were married, it wasn't like, Lord, I just thank you for a wife and let me go and start multiplying now. No. Lord, I thank you for helping the gospel because my life is already dedicated to you in the service. Lord, I thank you for helping the gospel because I already committed my life unto you. I thank you for a real husband to lead me and direct me. One that I can respect. One who I recognize is filled with the Holy Ghost. One who I see dedicated to the service of God. To that kind of man, I can come and submit myself. To that kind of man, I can walk up with a veiled face. I can renounce my name, DeGale, and take the name of Weston. To that kind of man. A man whose life I examined and looked at closely, that when he came and he proposed to me, I knew it wasn't some little advance. He wasn't just, you know, just moved in his mind or looking for a girlfriend or something. I saw the seriousness in his eyes. I saw the earnestness in his voice when he spoke. I looked at his integrity, at him coming and going out. I look at the things he speak and see it back up in his life. I look at him outside and inside the house of God. Because remember, when a young woman preserves her life, keep herself clean, pure, undefiled from the world. All them years, watching this, watching that, trying to walk straight, She then come and surrenders that to a man. And she could come in humble submission because she believed that man loves her. She believed that that man, when he says still death do it apart, he believed that from the bottom of his heart. She has seen the qualities in that man to lay down his life for her. Because faith works by love. It's not she's trying to escape a home, not she's trying to escape oppression or something, not that she's going through a hard time or she's just feeling lonely and, you know, maybe can't get a husband or something, or just, you know, went out hunting looking for a husband. No. When she said, yes, I will go, it's because she believed in the bottom of her heart, God is sending something in my life at this stage to strengthen me, something that will be for the glory of God, something that will be for the advancement of his kingdom. Is that right? Amen. And he greets them. He said, likewise, greet the church that is in the house. They had moved from Corinth to Rome. They went back after a few years. Claudius had died. He was able to go back in. From the time they went back in and find an apartment and start to live again, a church was in the house again. They didn't have time to waste. They traveled back to Rome, and from the time they went in, she said, let me take a 2 years vacation, a breather. All the people in the house, every Wednesday I clean out. Every Saturday I clean out. Every Saturday night for Sunday morning. He says, you don't get hardly have any privacy. We life gain dull. It didn't have nothing like that, no, sir. The love, the energy, the inspiration came from a divine source. They wasn't selfish. They saw the predestination in the marriage. They saw the hand of God working there. Last place before I close. Paul, the last chapter. He is waiting execution. He's in a prison, a Roman prison, a dungeon. He's getting ready to die. You see the heads rolling every day as they chop the heads off. His turn is coming. And he writes the last paragraph, 2 Timothy 4:19. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. What it was? 16 years had passed from the first time he met them at Corinth. And now he's waiting to die. And at the end of a long and fruitful life, Paul begins to write. And on his mind, before he goes to the grave, he is thinking about those two saints whose life shone out so bright, whose life and relationship excelled so many. And because of the enthusiasm, because of the love for each other, because of the unity in the spirit, because of the example among the believers, because of the willingness to serve, because of the willingness to make what they had available for the spreading of the gospel, he wants to be remembered by these two who had been so dear to him. He wanted to be remembered to them in the last hours of his life. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila for me. I want to close with that. You see that how they grew to love God's word. And God's word cultivated in their lives such a character that brought them to such a unity, such a relationship, that they shared God's word together and it strengthened their love for each other. They had time to do the business. They had time to take in guests and help them and take care of them. They had time to help share the word with others. They had time to run the business and do all the housework, but yet they had time to share the word together. They always found time to share the word together with each other. And that strengthened the love for each other. And that cultivated such a spirit of togetherness within them. And that is exactly what many Christian marriages is lacking today. Husband have one interest, the wife have one interest. She's in this and he's in that and they're over there. But these two was involved together every step. They're mentioned together every time. There's a picture of real, true togetherness. When husbands and wives would read the word together, When they take time together to open in their home, to worship God around the world together, you'd always find the same thing being cultivated. Because that is a necessary ingredient to bring that true oneness, to bring that true relationship. And that's why this evening, when we look and we see, as I say, another Aquila and another Priscilla, another eagle and another old-fashioned simplicity. Right? Eagle with eagle eyes, he's not going to look at the modern things of this world. Abraham, eagle eyes, could have seen the fire going to fall on Sodom. He looked and he saw some character. Real old-fashioned simplicity. That he could have gone to and said, would you take me? Would you be my bride? Would you receive my love? You believe that I'm sincere in what I'm proposing to you. God have worked wonderfully in their lives, of which we are very thankful. And what we have known of them and our association with them is just so admirable and is something that we put on display this evening for young people. And something to even cause other married couples to re-examine and see if in your marriages, your home become locked, your lives become private, the word of God becomes stifled, you become inactive in God's service, you pick up different interests, you occupy your time and your energies in other things, that's just temporal, or you see that it's time. But if God would have some more Aquilas and some more Priscillas, something real. Think of what the gospel could do. The people who is vibrant, willing to be involved, willing to use their substance. People who recognize that God have brought them together. It can make such a great difference. May out of the womb of this church, as it gives birth to another marriage this evening, another married couple, another union coming forth, may it not be something domesticated, is my prayer, but may it bring forth two people yoked together that would work and serve the Lord Jesus. A brother has a calling in his life, and if God would have to send him somewhere to preach the gospel and shepherd a little flock somewhere, wherever God raised them up, wherever they may start, whatever they may do, if by the grace of God that God has given him here a real Christian wife that can stand by his side and be a real example of old-fashioned simplicity, that wherever they stand and shine the light for the Lord Jesus, that will attract some poor soul to see the reality of God's word, see the truth. In this dark day when everything is being smothered out and becoming so modern, everything is being changed until people believe that those things only existed in the old-time days. But let me tell you, anything that God spoke in this word that we must live by never went out of existence. It might be the minority, but it's still the truth. And God only identifies himself with what is original and what he has established. At this time, I'd like to invite Brother Collette, his sisters, to come and sing. If you get ready, let it get ready by the time we are getting ready to change the order of the service. Just bow your heads with me for a short word of prayer as we get ready to change. Our gracious God, we have taken a little time speaking while the rain was falling, but now may every heart be in tune. May every spirit be settled. May every mind be centered upon you. And may your great divine grace and love condescend, overshadow this little audience here as we come to the climax of this little service this evening. This wedding ceremony, that your great love could just be imparted, shed abroad in the hearts of our brother and our sister. We desire that so much for them, that this would be a new beginning, a new page in the book of their life, a new chapter, as they go forth into it by faith,
They could go forth under the divine leadership and influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, having such confidence and assurance that you are with them and in them. May you grant it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
See what I found from the dust of the ground, a pearl of great price,
a jewel for my crown.
Look in her eyes,
a worship
on this fire, such a jewel. It's hard to find. She's like an Easter flower, like a virgin's shelter. Her deep, her character is undefined. She is my bride, she is my glorious bride, she is my bride, today and forever. I've suffered much pain before I could take my claim. She was chosen long ago to bear my name. We shared years of intimacy. She was a great mystery in me. She's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She is my bride, she is my virtuous wife, she is my bride, today and forever.
I believe blessed is a man who could find himself a virtuous wife. In a time when the daughters of men are fair. But what is beauty without character anyway? Just vanity. So sons of God, turn your eyes away from that wild stare. Look to the virtues of sacred motherhood, a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. Such virtues that could only be found in the daughters of God, who like Leah and Rachel, build the house of Israel, raise sons and daughters unto God, who give praise and worship the Lord. When you have found such a woman, then you could only say, ah, she is my bride, she is my virtuous wife, she is my bride, today and forever, my love, take her all. My love will take her all the way. At my side, she'd always stay. We are united by my promises, and I'll keep my word. She'll never be alone. On my throne, ah, she is my bride, she is my virtuous wife, she is my bride.
Says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. This time the congregation that is may have the seat, but I would like these to remain standing in front here. Who will I ask for this woman to be bride to this man? Look at me. Dearly beloved, we have gathered here in the face of this company, in the presence of God, to join together in holy matrimony this man and this woman, which is honorable as declared by St. Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of God. Into this holy state, these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony, let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and will charge you both, as long as you surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it, for be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than God would does allow, your marriage is not lawful. But believing that you have duly considered the solemn obligation that you are about to assume, that you are prepared to enter upon the same reverently, discreetly, wisely, and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you the marriage covenant. You will declare the same as you join your right hands together. Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live?
I do.
Will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live?
I will.
I will require a token of you. This covenant between you that's been made will always be kept. Amen. That is very careful and very skillful, very patient. Will you join your right hands together again? Let us pray. Almighty God, these moments are sacred as well as they are so precious unto us, because in life we pass this way only once. And dear God, knowing that they have come sincerely, faithfully, loyally to your word, as best as they know how, because you have cleansed their hearts by thy precious blood and you have given them faith to believe thy word. And that spirit that beat within their heart, dear God, that desires to serve you every moment of the day and to live to please you, even as it beats now, having made these vows to each other in the presence of witnesses, friends, relatives, saints, making it before you and your holy angels, dear God, knowing, Father, that you know their heart, and knowing, dear God, that they look to you for your holy blessings to be poured out upon their lives. Even they stand with joined hands now, Lord, and joined hearts. And we offer in this prayer of faith unto thee, looking unto you, Lord, who brought them together, who put the love of God in their hearts for each other, who drew them by the power of your Holy Spirit, who brought them, Lord, into this relationship, now into this union, dear God. knowing that they have gone beyond that line where there is no return, they cannot recant or retrace their steps. They have made this solemnly, faithfully, sincerely, dear God, vowing to live true to each other, to love each other sincerely and faithfully, Lord, until death. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would unite them together in such a way, even as we spoke this evening about Aquila and Priscilla, an eagle and old-fashioned simplicity, Lord. Lord, two servants of Christ that was yoked together in the bonds of love, in the bonds of the gospel, serving you, shining the light, and you gave them such a wonderful witness, Lord. How we desire to see another couple like that. I pray, dear God, that you would bless them, Father. You would enrich their lives with real holy faith. Holy works would proceed forth of their lives, Lord. Bright, shining light to attract souls unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. In this day when the marriage covenant is so degraded, homes being broken up under the challenge of this evil age that we live in, the darkness smothering out whatever little light that many have, may it never be so with them, Father, but may their lamps be filled with oil, trimmed and brightly burning, shining forth that radiant light, showing forth that holy union of what it is to be a true couple, Lord, married in Christ. I pray, dear God, that you would bless them. Bless their home that has been established upon the love that you have given unto them. May, dear God, as they go forth to labor together, to build a home, Lord, to raise a family, to serve you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you who have come into their hearts and their lives, Lord God, revealing the cross of Jesus Christ to them, filling them with your blessed Holy Spirit, may their God, may you so unite them and bless that union and give them the strength. And may they go forth under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. May their God, every step of the way, as they would trust you and believe your word, yielding and submitting themselves unto you in the fear of God, may they see your guiding influence, opening every door, removing every obstacle, possessing every gate, taking them forth from strength to strength. That they could live such a fruitful life, a life, dear God, that would bring glory and praise unto your name. Grant it, Father. May that love wax stronger day by day. And may they never have to look back and regret, Lord. But dear God, may they have the faith to look forward and rejoice, oh God, for the blessed work that thou hast wrought in their lives. Bless our brother Mervyn and our sister Rhea. And dear God, may they be lacking in nothing. May they have no fears nor doubts in anything. But dear God, may they trust you and live by the faith that you have given unto them. And dear God, may they go for a prosperous and successful life. In the name of Jesus Christ, even as you bless Abram and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, Lord, Boaz and Ruth, may you bless them with that holy blessing, Father. And God, may you be with them through it all. We thank you and we give you praise and we pronounce this sacred and holy blessing upon them this evening, believing, dear God, that they are your children. And we thank you for your presence and we thank you for their lives and what it means to us. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Now, by the power of my commission given unto me by Almighty God to be servant and ministered to me by the Holy Spirit, I pronounce you, this man and this woman, husband and wife, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, Amari. Let me kiss the bride. Amen. The first time a man should really kiss a woman is when he lifts that veil off of her face. And At this time, while we get ready to sign these marriage certificates, we'll have a song at this time, and then they would go out. So we'd like to invite those who'll be singing to come at this time.
This bride has come. with a prayer for dismissal at this time. Almighty God, how we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for what you have done this evening. We pray, dear God, that they will be eternal mates in glory. And even as they would leave, Lord, in this little procession, going out the doors, and we have come to the end of this service, how we give you thanks and praise. And in one of these days, the Lamb of God will descend. The bride will be caught up to meet with him in the air. Oh, God, I pray that that will be the desire of every Christian here. And them who are not a Christian desire to be part of that bride that would go with you one of these days, Father. Even as this bride would go with this bridegroom to her honeymoon, that we would go with you to that great honeymoon. And Father, I pray that you'd bless the remaining part of the evening, the reception, and all that is to be said and done, may it bring glory to your name. We love you, appreciate you, and we give you thanks. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.